We are the One Story Podcast. We believe in the power of a story. Everyone has a story, and that story is meaningful. Your story can make a difference. Your story can inspire others. Your story is important. At the same time, ultimately, everyone's story is a part of one story, the Big God story.
It's not what you said. You're not who you said you were.
What's up? What's up, everyone? This is the One Story Podcast. My name is Drew, and I'm with my buddy, old pal, Isaac.
What's up, player?
Not much. He's got a Grace, Faith, Hope, Grit sweatshirt on.
Which you can purchase at allgracedup.blog and help support our podcast.
He's also under the weather. He's got the sniffles.
No, that's my radio. Isaac's that's my radio voice.
Yeah. But you're not feeling. What did what's it called from Starbucks that you got?
Medicine ball,
coffee bomb, or what is it?
Medicine ball, coffee bomb. Next time I go to Starbucks, I'm gonna ask.
I got a coffee bomb. I'm feeling sick.
You know, like that secret menu from In-N-Out. Yeah, they're like, okay,
Christmas tree fries. Have you ever had those?
Shut up.
You've never got Christmas fries?
No.
Oh, you should try it next time.
Animal style.
Yeah, there's animal style.
And then there's Christmas fries. What do they put? Relish on it?
No, you just say Christmas fries. It's like, it's a gift. They'll give you a second one free.
Shut up.
He almost believed me, guys. Almost got him. I should have just let it go. You would have done it. Can I get an order of Christmas fries? Easy on the mic there, Chris Farley. Jeez. Give people a break on their ears. Anyways, this is the One Story Podcast. We're talking about In-N-Out and how great it is today.
Oh, dang. That was clutch, brother.
We got a good episode for you. But before we get into that, let's talk some biz. We are a listener-supported podcast, and one way you can do that is buy a t-shirt. Buy a One Story tee. There's two different styles you can go on. There's a link down in the show notes, actually, but it's on Isaac's wife's website, allgracedup.blog. You can go there directly or follow the link, and we have our one-story tees, and those just go to help out with bandwidth, equipment, different things that we're doing with the podcast. It just helps out because Isaac and I, we're just two working-class
citizens.
Foods. Something.
What? And ask for the Christmas tea. Look for it. It's there.
Where you'll be able to get two shirts for 40.
Yeah, that's the promo code Christmas tea.
But yeah, we just appreciate it. You can help support us that way, or also giving a review on iTunes, a rating and a review that helps out us become visible on the podcast networking and where, you know, people can find us. So in different areas. Different groups of people, you know, circles of friends, if you want to call it. If you guys can share it on social media, leave a review. We just really appreciate that. We just appreciate all of you guys who are continuing to listen wherever you may be. We're just blessed and humbled that this thing is still going strong and that we got a lot of listeners all over the country, even into the different parts of the world. And if you're out there, let us know. Drop us a line where you are. Where you're listening from, maybe a little bit about what this podcast has done for you. We just want to hear from you. We've gotten a lot of good encouragement, and it helps. It keeps Isaac and I moving and going.
Yes, very encouraging.
What else we got? We got our One Story Podcast Network, and that is with Wayna's podcast, the All Graced Up podcast. You can go find that on iTunes and support her show where she's talking about mom life and all the aspects of it. And then we also just newly released, even though this is coming out, it already had been released for at least a week, is Brian Sumner's podcast, The Foolishness Podcast. And that podcast is just Brian, talking about different things. He's an evangelist. He's a ex-pro skateboarder, so he's got a skate ministry. What's his tag? Marriages, Missions...
Missions, marriage, and ministry.
Right. And so go support him. He's got a lot of good stuff. He's doing interviews as well. It's going to look different. It's still, you know, forming into what it's going to be, but we'd ask you to go support that. Look for Brian on iTunes or however you listen to podcasts.
Yeah. And you can get connected with all his stuff and support him by going to briansumner.web.
.net.
.net, sorry.
Good job. What's .web?
That's his...
No, but .web, is that even anything?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was mixing his website and his email address in one. So,
anywho,
words are hard for me.
And then Isaac's also got another little announcement for you.
Isaac, One Story Podcast is supporting Ben Corson's new book called Optimisfits. It's coming out March 19th. So, guys, just go to his website, pre-order it, check it out. It's going to be good. We'll be having him on the show sometime soon, and we'll do a little book review.
Yeah. I just said that you had an announcement.
Oh, my bad. How dare you?
But yeah, we're supporting that. Go look for Ben. He's doing a lot of great things. His thing is called Hope Generation, and just providing hope to a hopeless generation, basically, or it can be, you know.
And that kind of ties in with today's episode.
Yeah, and today's episode we have on Art Reyes. He's the pastor of Alive Christian Fellowship in Rosemead. Just a great story of him. He gives some of his background, but really the main chunk of it is him basically starting a church, mm-hmm. you know, and just stepping out in faith and just everything that went with it. We were talking a little bit after the show about, you know, we did an episode a couple back where we talked about the church, and obviously we had some criticism of it, but this was just what we felt was a good example of
church done well.
And again, you know, we talked about it in the last episode. There's a lot of churches across America that are doing it well, mm-hmm. and representing God in the right way. And so we praise that and praise God for just being faithful with us. And hopefully what you get out of this, what I got out of it is, you know, we can fear, but try to get over that fear, get on the other side of the fear of where God just has something great for you.
And not only that, the faith. With the faith that he had, the faith that we all should have, mm-hmm. God, what he'll do.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So here's the show, without further ado, with Art Reyes. All right. So how you doing, Art?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing? Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah.
You know, I know that Drew and I have been talking for a little bit, trying to work a time out, so I'm glad that you got it down.
Yeah,
and then you're probably thinking, who's this Isaac guy?
No, no, I heard a lot of good things. So,
I was surprised to see you because they think pastor, think middle aged, that's gentleman that knows the Bible really well.
You know what? That's a big part of my story. You know that piece right there.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So we'll get into that
for sure. But I was like, whose kid is that over here?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, there's a lot of other funny ones like that, man. That you'll trip out.
It took a little while for us to get connected, but to get here and recording this, but I appreciate your time. I know you're busy, you work, and then preparing for Sunday mornings is also something I'm sure takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
We know each other through my dad.
Yeah.
And we've had Raul on here, and it's just cool to, you know, he told me a lot about you, and I think on the other side he was telling you about me.
Yeah.
And just cool that we got to connect, and I got to actually go to your church the other week, and that was good. But yeah, I say we just get into it. This is a show about stories, and you can kind of just share your story of maybe a little background, where you're from, and we'll go from there.
No, absolutely. Yeah. No, thank you again. And I'm actually just pretty local here in LA. I'm born and raised here in Pomona. So, you know, my story is a little bit different than a lot of people's story when you have them share on a platform, because I'm usually the one that is inviting people to share their story, right?
Oh, right.
I was so blessed from day one just to grow up in a household where you had both parents and blessed because they're always going to church. And as far as I can remember, my parents have served at a really high capacity in ministry.
Hmm.
So I grew up in the church. I was dedicated in the church. I grew up. I don't have a crazy, you know, go out and, you know, the sex, the drugs, the all of that. You know, I don't have that crazy background, but
I guess we could just stop the interview right here.
Yeah, yeah. You're boring, man. Let's get out of here. Yeah. You know? But yeah, I grew up in the church. And I grew up in the church and started playing guitar and instruments, and I think when I was 13, I started leading worship a little bit and just playing kind of background to the main worship team. And when I became 16 years old, me and my brother would play, and the worship leader at that time, he actually got moved into somewhere else, and so they told us, hey, you guys are going to lead worship, you know, and on Sunday. And
you're 13
like,
years old.
13 years old, and I'm like,
In the big church?
I was 16 at this time. I was 16 by this time. And I was like, you know what? I was so scared when they told me on Saturday. I practiced like 6 hours. and I told my brother, I was like, you know what? We're just gonna fill in for a month. They're gonna find someone else. And every month I would tell them that until 7 years passed by, and we were still leading worship. You know,
wow. And you still didn't feel like the worship leader.
The worship leader. You know,
I'm just subbing.
Yeah, 7 years sub. But in between all of that, you know, you started to feel the call of God in your life, that's what I started to feel. I knew that this is it. This is the reason on why the Lord called me to be able to serve Him. I didn't know what. You know, initially I thought this is what I'm gonna be a worship leader. This is what I'm called to do. And I remember actually meeting your dad and him telling me, you know what, you're not going to be a worship leader. You're going to be a pastor. And I'm like, you're crazy. I've never given a message. You know, I'm going to be a worship leader.
Right.
Powerful RV.
You know, so just leading worship, and then the Lord pressing my heart as far as to go to really go to Bible college, you know, and wrestling with the calling of God in my life to really see what it is that God wants for me. I think one of the biggest questions that a lot of people have, especially when you graduate right after high school, is what is God's call for my life? What's next? And I battled a lot with that. What's next? Because inside I knew God called me to serve Him. I wanted to go to Bible college. But at the same time, half of me and my mind and everything wrestled with you know, you're Hispanic, your parents migrated into this country. They work really hard to pursue that American dream so their children can grow up, have a good education, go to a four-year college. And you want to get that four-year education. You want to be able to make your parents proud. You see the sacrifice they've done and all of that. So I go out and I apply for college. You know, I did all right in high school. I got accepted like to four universities, I wanted to pursue education. You know, I wanted to pursue it because I wanted to make my parents proud. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make my parents proud. I was in a sense, I was living, you know, during that time to try to prove myself to them and try to kind of pay back all the hard work they had done for me. Mm. And in a sense, inside of me, I was wrestling. What is it? What am I doing here? You know, and at that time it was funny because God had a way of humbling me, you know, of trying to please, you know, people or man instead of pleasing him.
Right.
Yeah. And it was interesting because.
Where did your parents come from?
They came from Mexico.
Okay.
So they came from Mexico, you know, my dad came back in Mexico back like in the 70s, 80s. And my mom, you know, then after they got married, they moved over here, and all of us are all born here, and we grew up here.
So you're like first generation
Americans, yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, you have to, you know, their entire hard work is writing, you know, and our success and our education, and here we are, you know, wanting to be it. And I'm the middle one, but I'm the first one that actually went to college, you know, and I would go to Cal State San Bernardino. So if you know the distance from Pomona to San Bernardino, it's about an hour, right? About an hour, 45 minutes, something like that.
Okay.
About 45 minutes.
Yeah, something like that, right? But I didn't have a car. Oh. You know, I didn't have a car at 18, at 17, graduated high school 17, I didn't have a car. I would literally have to wake up at 4:30 a.m. and catch three buses.
Dang.
To get to school at 8.
Wow.
You know, I was for the bus for 3 hours.
That's
and,
nuts.
Yeah. And to get to school at 8, I went to school. And by the time you're there, you're just checked out.
And this is college. So
yeah.
At this time, like, were you at all feeling like, man, like, I want to get a job, but yeah. Like maybe get, you know, start earning some money. Yeah. So you've probably seen other kids, you know, everybody has a car.
Yeah.
And you're thinking like, what the heck? Like,
no, and I'm already working. I'm already working. You know, I'm trying to save up to get my car. You know, I started working while I was in high school, right? Uh-huh. Started working while I was in high school, you know, working throughout that time, trying to save up. And by the time you get to school after 3 hours in your mind, you don't want to be there.
Yeah.
You know, you're checked
out
already. You know, and imagine for 3 hours you're on the bus, you show up to class. You know, first of all, you don't want to be there because you know that that's not where God wants you. You're there just because you want to appease, right? And then finally, when you get there, you know, you know, you just don't want to be there, or class is canceled, and then you have to wait for the next class, and it's like, man. So I was mentally checked out. I was, and that's kind of where like the climatic point of my life began, because at that point I was checked out and I did horrible. I did so bad that I was put on academic probation the first quarter, and I was scared. I didn't even tell my parents. I was so scared. I didn't tell my parents. And then I was put on academic probation the second semester. For 1 year, I was in academic probation, my first year, freshman year of college. And after that second year, they told me if you don't, and after that first semester, they told me if you don't, you know, get your grade straight after the second time, then you're going to be expelled from the school and you're going to have to go somewhere. So I got expelled. And I didn't tell my parents.
You ended up getting kicked out of school.
I get kicked out of school, and I didn't tell my parents. And they eventually got a letter in the mail. You know, it was for me. Mm-hmm. My mom opened it, and she told me, what is this? And I felt like a failure. Mm. I was so depressed because I felt like I let them down.
What was their reaction?
Their reaction, it was just a disappointing reaction.
Right.
You think about all the hard work I thought about, you know, my mom waking up early in the morning and taking me to the bus stop and going and picking me up and taking me to work and my dad's sacrifice and hard work. And I started to think about all those stuff and I thought that I was a failure.
Wow.
And I thought, man, you failed. You failed them. You're the one that you're the second, you know, son, but you were supposed to go to that university. You're supposed to graduate for them. All their hard work, and you failed them.
Probably because did they have high expectations for you because you did well in high school?
Right.
Accepted to this university.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and here you're thinking you're a failure. You start to wrestle with these thoughts in your mind to the point where it was such a discouraging and such a depressing season for my life. And here I am serving God. Mm. Here I am pretending everything's okay, but inside I'm struggling.
Still a worship leader.
Still a worship leader, but inside I'm struggling.
What was your conversations like with God at that time?
You know, and I remember going and because after that I went to community college, and I remember walking around campus at the community college and asking God, why is it that I'm in this place? I love you. I've served you for, you know, most of my life. I've been at church. You know, why is it that I feel like I haven't been able to accomplish? And I felt like, man, this is a fail. I'm a failure. That's all I am. You know, I haven't accomplished nothing. I had to go back, you know, from going, you know, usually people go to community college and then university.
Yeah. You went the other way.
I went the other way around, you know, and I felt, man, this is horrible, you know, and I went the other way around. And because, and this is so insane, because I did horrible there, I also did bad in community college. And I was again, and I'm getting out of probation. And I was like, what is this, God? What's going on? I was just mentally, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to focus and do this. I was just doing this to do appease, you know, man. And then the Lord started pressing my heart. You have to go to Bible college. And I said, no, what? I don't have the money to go to Bible college. You know, I don't want to go there. And at first, I remember telling my parents and my dad, you know, I want to go to Bible college. And he kind of didn't want to. He really didn't like the idea of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, no, what are you going to do? What career is that going to give you? You know, I'm going to make money. You're not. That's not a money making career. That's not the, you know, in the mentality of our parents is for you to be successful. Right.
Yeah.
And they want
from a good place. Yeah, they want the best for you.
They want the best for you. Yeah. You know, and sometimes when you come from, you migrate into the country, that's not, you're not migrating to the country so your son can go to Bible college. You know, you're,
you want him to be a doctor or a lawyer.
Exactly. You want them to have aspire to be something great.
Right.
You know, of course, you know, which is nothing wrong with that. And I was just wrestling with it and wrestling with it. And throughout that time of leading worship, I had met a lot of people in my life that were very instrumental to kind of raise me up, you know, just like my parents, but also raise me up spiritually, encourage me. And I remember one day praying, God, if you want me to go to Bible college, then you're going to provide. You know, the next day I got a call from somebody who said, hey, the Lord put you in my heart to pay for the first year of Bible college for you. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I was like, what? Are you crazy? You know, he's like, yeah. The next day. Somebody called. I was there.
Who was this person?
His name. His.
You don't think of his name, but.
Yeah. His first and last name, right? No, but he was an actual you know, an elder gentleman that I still talk to today. And he's just kind of like a mentor, like a guy that he's helped many young people go to Bible college. And he was a missionary growing up. And he knows how valuable it is to have a Bible education. And he doesn't do it just so people can go into ministry. He just wants people to learn the Bible. Mm-hmm. Right.
Wow.
Yeah. So he said, the Lord put, do you want to do it? And I was like, of course I want to do it. You know, and I started going to Bible college, you know, still working and all that, and knowing this is what God's going to do. But I was just doing it part-time, you know, just doing part-time and working and seeing really what is it that God, you know, God is going to do in my life. And then that's kind of where I had met now your dad, Raw. Mm-hmm. You know, I met him, and throughout that season of me meeting him, I started to work for him. You know, I started working for him, and I was
your second guest that's worked for Raw.
Yeah, yeah. And I was his. I was a day porter. You know, and if you know what that is, you basically drive from building to building, like these warehouse commercial buildings, and you pull out. You know, you pull out the dumpsters and you clean out the dumpsters there and around the trash, and you know so here and there you'll do a little maintenance, but it's not a big deal. You're just there to make yourself available and to maintain the property.
Okay,
right. And I was, and literally that was the time where God was just ministering to me, you know, because I was by myself. I was just walking around. And I was picking up trash, and I was asking God, like, is this it? Like, what's going on?
This is gonna be the rest of my life.
I know. I'm picking up trash right now for a living. You know, 19 years old. You know, and throughout my entire high school background, I was volunteering to be a police officer, because that's something that was a passion of mine. You know, while serving God, you know, so when I was going to high school, I was a police explorer for 4 years, and they sent me through pre-academies. I was doing, you know, top of my class for 60 cadets and all of that, so, you know.
I just wish you were my child. I just, like, when Uriah's teenager, I hope he's doing all this.
You know, so
instead of
so,
what we were doing.
Yeah. So, you know, and, you know, but the thing is then I wanted to, you know, try to balance out, well, am I going to be a cop? Am I going to be, you know, going to full-time ministry? What is it that I'm going to do, right?
Yeah.
So eventually.
And that time that you were working for my dad, did you stop going to school, or were you still going to school at that point?
I was just going to part-time.
Oh, the part-time
Bible
school.
College.
Right.
You know,
oh, was, Bible college. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to part-time Bible college there.
Yeah.
You know, and I was going there, part-time Bible college. You know, God started to kind of work and minister in my heart, in my life, you know. And then this is where I ended up at, you know, the church where I actually was at last, Calvary Chapel in Golden Springs and Dion Bar, where I started to serve under, you know, Pastor Roel Reese's leadership, and there I met my wife. You know, I was there for 4 years, right? And I met my wife one day. I was still leading worship there. I was leading worship there and teaching Bible studies here and there, maybe Spanish ministry, helping out with the youth and doing things like that, right? But as I was leading worship one day after, you know, the college and career ministry, I met her and I saw her there, and we started to talk a little bit. She had just come back from New York, and I met her the week after she came back. You know, after, and I was like, man, this girl is like, you know, she caught my attention. The first, you know, I was leading worship. I went to introduce myself after, and then I found out how old she was, and I was like, you know, she's just 2 years older than me. But back then, I was like, oh man, she's not going to be interested. You know, I'm too young.
Yeah.
You know, so she didn't know how old I was for a while, right? And we started, you know, talking. And after a month of talking, I told her, you know what, I'm not going to just talk to you. We're not just going to hang out or do this. You know, if you're going to hang out, we're going to talk. It's because, you know, there's an interest in mine. And after a month of meeting her, I told her, hey, are you going to marry me or not? You know, and for most people, that sounds like, man, you're crazy. What are you talking about? You know,
that's one way to ask.
That's
huh?
one way to ask. Right. But anyways, I told, we had that conversation. You know, we were going to pray about it. We prayed about it. And then, you know, she said, man, I have peace about this too. You know, it was a week after she had come back from New York. She didn't know why God brought her back. And the Lord started ministering in her heart as we're now started a relationship. She got asked to come on staff. And she was put through this just express, you know, carpool lane in ministry to learn so much in the next 3.5 years. You know, I had grown up in the church. She didn't have that serving background that I did, the ministry background. So for the next 3 years, she was serving on staff, you know, and really learning the background of what church is and all of that, right? And, you know, as you know, she was living out in Rosemead, right? And I was living in Pomona, you know, until we got married. Then we got married. And then I before we got married, though, I was working at a bank, and the Lord was pressing in my heart, and he's saying, you have to start a Bible study. And I was like, this is where I started a battle with a lot of things, because I was like, you know, I'm not going to start a Bible study, because anytime I try to do something big and great and do something for the Lord or do something, it didn't work out well. You know, I tried to be a cop. It didn't work out. I tried to go to school. It didn't work out. And I was like, I'm not going to start a Bible study so that it doesn't work out. And I started to feel the fear of failure. And I think that was such a big hindrance, you know, that I was wrestling with for a long time. But then I was like, all right, God, if you're gonna want me to start a Bible study, then tell me where, right? And we literally started in the Bible study in my wife's grandmother's house, where I live at today. You know, we started the Bible study there on a Tuesday night one time. You know, her family was gathered just to pray. You know, they wanted to pray. They had invited me just to be a guest, just so that I can pray with people, right? And I was just there as just like anybody else. I didn't put it together. I was just there to pray, and I prayed, and we were praying there. And that night, God said, "This is where you're going to start the Bible study with these people here." And I was like, "What? This is crazy. You're going to start a Bible study here, right? I don't know anybody here. I don't know that Rosemead. I don't know anything about Rosemead." The first time that I had to go pick up my wife when she was my, you know, for our first date as my girlfriend, she told me she lived in Rosemead. I remember sitting at work, and I asked my friend sitting next to me, like, "Hey, do you know where Rosemead's at?" You know, I was like, "How do you even get there?" And I drove up to this house where she lives at, and I was like, "Oh, this is a nice house." You know, not knowing that that's where a church would start, and that's where I eventually would live.
Wow.
It was so crazy.
There was already people meeting there regularly, or no?
It was one prayer meeting that they had done to pray over her grandma because she was sick, and they thought that she might be, you know, experiencing a lot of sickness. So the family put a prayer meeting together.
Right.
They, amongst themselves. I was still just the new, you know, the new guy, you know, dating just the granddaughter.
Yeah.
I show up, and then God said, "This is where you're going to start the Bible study." And I was like, "I don't know them. You know, what do you mean I'm going to start right here? Why would they ever come for me to teach anything?" And that day after, I remember talking to some of her cousins saying, "Hey, God's been really pressing on my heart to start a Bible study." And they told me this. They told me, "Well, tell us when and we'll be here." And I was like,
"Wow."
I didn't even think about it. I was like, "All right, why don't we just start next week?" So we started next week, and just there in the living room, and I would commute every single week to this Bible study of a city that I didn't even live at. I didn't know anybody there, you know. And we just started. My younger brother was coming out. You know, he's been faithful since then, and he's coming out every single week. And we started the Bible study there. And I'll tell you, for the first month or so, I was even before I was wrestling, I was like, "No one's gonna come. No one's ever gonna. Why would they ever want to come to a Bible study here? I don't know nobody over here. You know, this is not my house. Why would I ever do this? It sounds crazy, right?" And I started to commute to this place, this house, you know, and we started doing a Bible study. I would take on my guitar, do a few songs of worship, and just open up the Bible. And people were showing up, 10, 15 people were showing up, and you started to see some momentum come. You know, but just like everything that starts off when people are excited, what happens right after the excitement dies out? Then you really see the test. Mm-hmm. Because you could start something, right, whether it's a business, an organization, whatever it is that, you know, that you are passionate about. And you're going to be excited. There's going to be momentum.
The honeymoon phase.
The honeymoon phase, right? Mm-hmm. What happens after, right? It starts to then, you know, die down a little bit, right? And I start to get tested. Like, you know, this is one of those other things. You know, still not married. You know, still just, you know, in a relationship with my girlfriend.
Did it start to seem like work, or what was it that were you excited about it still?
I was excited about it because I knew this is what God called me to do, but I was like, all right, what's happening? You know,
the people that were
the attendance fluctuates a little bit, right? You know, then we get married and I move in there. I move into the house, that same house that I was leaving. So I was living in the place where it was the Bible study. And I'll tell you, sometimes it was hard because sometimes, you know, the fact that you get so discouraged sometimes that you don't want to do it, you know. And I was like, "Man, I don't even want to go to church today." And I just have to walk down the hall, you know, from my bedroom down to the living room, right?
Right. So at this time you didn't have a home church at this time?
I was still going to church at that home church. And I was on Tuesday night.
Was it
night.
Calvary Chapel Golden Springs?
It was that still. Okay. Yeah, it was there still. And I was, and my wife was still working there, and I was just doing the Bible study. And I'm telling you, they didn't have a lot of noise. And nobody from over there came out. God just told me, just do it quietly. Just do it quietly. You know, and for some people, you know, I thought, you know, what are people going to say about me if I start a Bible study?
Yeah.
You know, what are they going to think? You know, what if I fail? Are they going to criticize me? You know, I'm not even a pastor or ordained, but, you know, I'm not. What am I doing? You know, and I started to deal with all these thoughts. Whether should I be doing it or not? You know, and of course I had, you know, people that I would hold myself accountable and pastors and you know, and just those that I really knew they were going to pour into me, right? And as this Bible, we got married and we saw the Bible study kind of unravel and fold and it started to fluctuate, right? And I remember there was weeks where I was so discouraged, you know, and then there were some weeks where actually, you know, some people wouldn't come, and then, you know, just my brother and a few people and my wife and we'd still do it. I remember there was one week that my brother couldn't come because of work or something, you know, and I was already married and he couldn't come because of work, and my wife was there because we obviously live there, right? And then her two friends came. And I taught literally, I just taught a bunch of girls that week. And, and I was like, man, the Satan told me that day, man, that's this is not no Bible study, man. Mm-hmm. You think you're doing something? This is just stop. Just quit.
So that was what I was going to ask you. Do you think like all those doubts that you have was the enemy kind of putting these thoughts in your
absolutely.
Head?
It's, you know, and I think it's so important that we always remind ourselves of what we got called to do. Because there's always going to be discouragement. You know, anytime you try to do something great for God, the enemy's going to want to discourage you. And you're going to be tested, you know. And you never know. The season you're going through right now is preparation for what's going to happen next, right? And I remember being tested. And many times I told my wife after people left, many times, it wasn't just one week. I told her, you know what, call people and tell them we're not doing it anymore, you know. And she would just kind of stay quiet and just kind of, you know, just listen and all that. And throughout the week before the next week came, somebody would ask, you know, hey, are you guys having the Bible study? We're going to go this week. And I was like, all right, this is the last week that we're going to have it, you know. And every, you know, and after that, you know, it would happen over and again.
So was the discouragement, because what did you have in mind? Did you think, like, I'm starting this Bible study for it to become bigger and become a church? Or was it just the fact of like, okay, I have a Bible study, I want people to show up? And so when people weren't showing up, was that just the discouragement, or was it a bigger picture thing?
You know what, I never, and that's a good question, because I never, you know, when I didn't know what it was going to be. I never really did. I never thought it would ever become a church. Yeah, I just knew that God told us to do this now, and I was going to do it till he told me to stop. Obviously, throughout the journey, you know, you start to get discouraged on whether or not you should be in this lane, right? But God says, you know, obey me, you know, and it's kind of like what you guys are doing, you know, just doing this until God tells you to stop, right?
Yeah.
And you don't know what's going to become of it. And then sometimes, then God starts to unfold it, right? Throughout that season, we were starting to do little outreaches on my house, and like backyard, you know, outreach, just crazy stuff, you know. We were starting to try things that just seemed foolish to other people, like little kid stuff, you know. Some people would think like, man, why would you ever try that? That just, like, in today's world, that sounds just like dumb, like it's not going to work.
Like what?
Like what? Yeah.
You know? Give an example.
Like, we would literally throw like a barbecue, right, and print out flyers with my address on it, right, and say we're going to have free food and we have a Bible study, right? And I remember—
To just anybody in the neighborhood?
No. Party. It was a flyer party in my backyard. I remember during this time that we would go, you know, I would go with a group of us, sometimes by myself, we'd go to Walmart by my house and stand outside of Walmart and hand out flyers inviting people to my house. I mean, how lame does that sound? You know, you're standing outside of Walmart and people are looking at you, and they probably think you're weird. Like, this guy's inviting us to his house to eat.
Come be my friend. Yeah. I need friends.
You know, something, you know, and it sounds just so ridiculous. And when you're there—
It does sound, I don't know. I have a different thought of it now, because to me, that's like, you're stepping out in faith.
You are.
Know, you're really kind of going after people. You're being a fisher of men, right?
Yeah, you're
really just kind of just casting the net.
That's it.
But that is kind of embarrassing, though. Yeah.
You're out there, you know, and your perspective is, I'm just being obedient. You have the faith almost like a child that God talks about. You have to have a faith like a little child, where you think like, this is actually going to work if I go out here. Like a little kid, when he starts to build like a fort or tries to dress up, he doesn't care about what people think about him. He really just believes in that what he's doing is going to work.
Yeah,
and that's the faith of a little child.
Did the Walmart people ever tell you to keep moving?
Oh, many times. You know, they know us now.
So you know, you went to Target.
You know, oh, we've been there too, man.
There's no Target in Rosemead.
There is, and we've been there, man. You know, so there, we. You know, just showing, and you know, it's interesting because God has a way of encouraging you. You know, you're young, you're questioning, you're doubting yourself, and you're saying, you know what, I'm young. And do I have the capability? Can God use me this way?
Yeah. You know, how old were you at that time?
I was 24 years old, 23 years old, 23 when the Bible study started, 23 years old. I wasn't no pastor.
Right.
Most of the people that were coming were older than me, you know, and still in the church. A lot of them are still older than me.
Right.
You know, and when we started that, we're going out and inviting people to our house. And I remember one time we did one where we were going to do like a backyard thing in my house, and we organized it. And right next to the Walmart, there is a international, foreign exchange students, international Buddhist university, right? But the students, they're just normal. They're just, they look like they come from a different country, right? They're not dressed any weird. Just, they look from a different country. They don't speak English that well, right? So there were about four girls that eventually got from Thailand. They got a flyer, right? And they showed up to the outreach. And I was just blown away. I couldn't believe that people actually showed up to this thing, you know?
That's awesome.
And they showed up. And I remember when they showed up to my house, they were taking pictures of my house. And I was like, this is crazy. Because for them, they just wanted to learn English. You know, so they were coming because they said, hey, somebody wants to be friends with us, you know, in America. So they wanted to learn English. So they show up. They hardly speak any English. One of them is a believer and the rest are not. And they just want to come hang out. They came. They hang out. They were just observant. And I was like, all right, whatever. You know, we did the Bible study. And they were so excited. And then they would come back. And they would come back and they would come back and they got their first Bible there. They would come back and throughout this time, sometimes they would and sometimes they wouldn't come back. And we were like, all right, let's see what God's going to do, right? You know, you still had a little group of people and friends coming. And there was a week one time that it was just my brother, my younger brother, myself, and my wife. And I was like, you know what? It was one of those weeks where it was just light, you know, it was just us three, you know, and it was 7:15 and nobody was there. And I was like, you know what? This is my brother. This is my wife. I live here. You know what, guys? Let's just watch a movie today. You know? And I was like, let's just watch a movie. We literally were going to watch a movie, you know? And God told me, no, what are you talking about? I told you to do a Bible study. Mm-hmm. So why don't you guys just at least, you know, in my mind, I was like, all right, we'll just read the Proverbs of the day today and pray, you know? So I was like, that way I don't feel bad that we didn't do anything.
You did your Bible study.
Yeah, I did my Bible study, right? So we start reading the Proverbs of the day. We're going to pray, you know, so that we can watch our movie, you know? And it's 7:30 now. It's dark. A knock on the door comes, and I'll tell you that knock on the door came, and we all, I was like, who's that? It's 7:30, you know, and I thought it was like maybe a neighbor or something, but not for the study, you know. And we get a knock on the door, and it was those girls. They had come, and they had come walking. They would come walking, and they came walking. We opened the door, and they're like, all right, we're here for the Bible study. So now I'm like forced to actually give the study. So I gave the study, and then after I was there, kind of just waiting, seeing, all right, what are you going to do, God? You know. And that day, one of them said, what do I have to do to become a Christian?
Come on.
You know?
Come on.
You know?
Yeah.
That was the first day somebody accepted the Lord in that Bible study.
Oh, wow.
The first day. You know? The day that I wanted to watch a movie.
You mean out of all the people ever?
Yeah. Somebody that received the Bible for the very first time, and they were like, you know what? How can I accept Jesus Christ to come into my heart?
Man, just God just really speaking to you, man, really telling
I was like,
you,
this
like,
is what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
You know, and
don't
and
put on a movie.
Exactly, don't put on the movie. You know, and so you know, we talked to her, we explained to her what it is. You know, and she thought, man, this is awesome. So, you know, and we gave her, you know, she already had a Bible, she was bringing it. You know, so she gave her life to the Lord. She said, I just feel so much love. I want the love that God gives me inside. And she didn't really know how to say it, but she, I remember her touching her chest a lot. She said, I want the love, the love, the love. And she would point inside and you know, Jesus and the love. How do I get baptized? How do I become a Christian? What do I have to do? You know, so she was
so cool,
you know? So I was like, man, and these are foreign exchange students from Thailand. You
right.
Know?
Yeah.
So I'm just blown away. And I was like, I can't believe this. Right. So, you know, weeks go by, and as they're going by, as these weeks are going by, you know, they have to go back now. You know, they have to go back to Thailand, right? And we're still doing the Bible study. People are coming and going, and you know, they text my wife and they tell her, you know what, we're gonna go back, but that young girl, she wants to get baptized, and she was wondering if you guys can baptize her. And I was like, you know, at this point, I haven't even baptized anyone by myself before, you know? You know, so, you know, can you baptize her? And I was like, you know, I don't have a pool, you know? And I mean, I'm not going to baptize her in my, like, you know, not that there's nothing wrong with it, but in my bathtub or anything like that, right? Yeah. You know?
You could.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Turn the hose on, the sprinkler.
Something. I don't know. What am I through it. What am I going to do? You know? I was like, I don't have anything, you know? I don't know. You know? And I'm just thinking to myself, like, man, you know, I'm not no real, you know, teacher. No, I can't even baptize someone.
Still having the self doubts,
yeah, mm-hmm. Of course. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, and they said, you know what? She explained to them, we're looking right now for a place. So why are you looking? You know, why don't you come baptize me in my school? And that was like, we already asked, and they said it was okay that we use the pool here at the school. And this is a Buddhist school,
right?
This is a Buddhist school where the you know, they're teaching this in their curriculum. And I was like, are you serious? We're going to go teach on Jesus at a Buddhist school and baptize someone? So they said, yeah. So we show up. And I'm like, man, God, what is going to happen? Hmm. We get a guy from Africa that shows up. You know, he's there in that foreign exchange. Dude, we preach the gospel, right? And we baptize her, and he gives his life to the Lord, this guy as well, and he gets baptized as well.
Come on.
Yeah. We baptize.
Dang,
yeah.
That's powerful,
man.
Our Reyes.
No, and it's crazy. You know, we baptize them, and then they go back, right? And you know, we're still doing the Bible study, and we're seeing, man, that was like the biggest thing that God said, you know what, keep doing what you guys are doing, because even though when you don't see anything taking place, God is working.
It's happening. Yeah.
And I think sometimes we are so prone to look you know, measure success off of results.
Yeah.
But God measures success off of faithfulness and obedience.
Amen.
And we have to remember that. Sometimes we think, you know what, God is going to, you know, we are looking and have a preconceived notion of what success looks like. And whatever it is in life that God's called us to do, we think, you know, if we get this outcome, that, man, we're successful. But that's not how God measures success. He measures it off of faithfulness. He measures it off of being faithful even in the small little things, and right. He'll give you more. If you can't be faithful with three people, why would I bring five? Why would I bring 10, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. And that's in anything that God's called us to do. So we're going to move the Bible study to a public place, right?
Yeah.
And we're wrestling with where there's a community center. And I was like, God, you know what? I start to give God every excuse and reason why we can't do it. You know, that was always my thing. Give God a reason why you shouldn't do it, right? And you know, you have the faith. God's given you the boldness. But however, you're hiding it and living in the fear of thinking it's not going to work. Right. So I started to pray. Well, there's the community center. We go out there. We ask them. They said, you know what? Yeah, you guys can use this place, you know, and, you know, all right, God.
This is Rosemead.
Rosemead. I was like, God, how are you going to provide? You know, how are you going to provide? At that job, at that time, I had told God, I'm working at this really far location. If you move me closer, then I'll move the Bible study because I'll have more time. I'll live closer to home. I'll move it to a public place to make it open to the public. Like go out like from your house to the public place. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I transitioned jobs. I moved closer. You know, I got, you know, and my last paycheck on my last job, they accidentally paid me twice. You know, so they send me money. They gave me two checks accidentally, right? And I called them and I told the HR department, hey, you guys actually pay me twice. You guys need to take this money because it's not mine. And they called me back and they said, you know what, let me put you on hold, actually. They told me, let me put you on hold. Put me on hold. I was on hold like for 2 minutes. And then you know, they came back to, oh, Mr. Reyes, yeah, we're not going to go ahead and pursue that. Just go ahead and keep it. And I was like, what
the heck? When does that ever happen?
Yeah, yeah. You know, seriously,
keep the money.
And it wasn't like $200. It was like an additional paycheck.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm working at the bank. It's an additional paycheck. I told my wife, and we were tripping out. And I was like, no. But I told her, no, like, God's telling me that this is for something else. This is for something else. And when we went out to turn in our application, we had this on a separate account. We just didn't even touch. We pretended it didn't exist. Right. I was like, what if we need to give this to somebody to pay their rent?
Mm.
What if we need to give it away for somebody? And we didn't know what it was for. And we just sat on it for like an entire month. And we went to go turn in our application. It was the for the insurance, the first month, and the deposit. It was the exact amount of the extra that we needed.
and this is important because I think people may or may not like is it real? Because it doesn't seem real, right?
Oh man!
But out of all the stories we've heard, this is right on par.
Yeah,
this is what God does. No, God shows up and lets you know I'm here.
You know what? When God guides, God provides.
Yeah,
and we have to remember that if He's guiding it, then He's going to fund it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's His church. And I think that's the thing that we have to remember. It is His church. He's going to fund the ministry if He's leading it. Whatever it is, if it's ministry, if it's something else, you know, of course, anything that He's called us to do, He's going to make sure it happens. So we start to do the Bible study in the community center. We do it there, and we're going to switch to Sundays, right? We're going to switch to Sundays now because God is pressing on our hearts. Like, you know, what's going to happen Sundays? These people are coming from the city. It's a little group of like 20 people, right, with their families. We have a little children's ministry going on at the community center. You know, my wife is teaching the kids and all of that. And then you know, they're asking here, you know, are you guys going to do anything on Sundays or just Tuesdays? And we're like, no, we're just Tuesdays. And I'm like, no, we're not doing Sundays. You know, we will not do that. We're not a church. We're just a Bible study in the city, you know, and I have my home church over here. My wife still works over here. You know, well, this is knowing that my heart and inside of me, you know, God's called us to do this.
Right.
And I remember my pastor always, you know, always saying, you know what, some of you guys are out here and sitting here in this room and God's calling you to step out and you're too scared to go because you don't know what's going to happen. And he said, I remember he saying this, don't be the guy that's sitting here 4 years later saying what's going to happen, what could have happened if I would have stepped out in faith. And
is that Raul Reese?
That was Raul Reese.
Powerful Raul Reese.
You know, and he was saying that, you know, Pastor Raul, he was saying that, he was like, you know what, don't be the person that is sitting here 4 years later and saying, what could have God done if I went? I wish I could have done something that God called me to do. And I was sitting at the edge of my seat every single time he was talking. I remember leaving those conversations and those meetings, and I would tell my wife, I was like, man, you can't believe what he just said. He just said that one day we're going to go out and we're going to do this, and it would just press on my heart, you know? And finally, in 2000, I think it was like 2015, you know, 2015 or something like that, right? That the last You know, time we met in December 2015, he read a scripture, him and his assistant pastor, to us, just the pastors, and I was one of the leaders. I wasn't even an ordained pastor or anything like that. I was just doing the Bible study, he said, on the side, and he read a verse that said in Psalms 107, it says, "Those who go down to the sea in ships, those who do business on great waters, they see the Lord's work, and they see his wonders in the deep." And I was like, and they said, "We want to go ahead and talk a little bit about what the deep looks like, because a lot of people live their Christian walk in the shallows, mm-hmm. and they never step out in the deep because it's not safe. It's not convenient. You're going to get the waves. They're going to beat you up. But that's where you're going to see God's wonders. You're going to see God's wonders in the deep." He said, "Some of you guys are living your entire life in the shallow waters. Step out and see what God can do." And sometimes we rob ourselves from what God wants to do because we don't step out. And he said, "Some of you guys are wallowing in the shadows. Go out, and if God tells you to do it, then do it. You know, don't be here next year asking yourself." They said, you know, I remember asking yourself what God could have done, you know, this year if I would have stepped out and seen what God would have done, right, in my obedience. And I was there, and I was like, you know what, that's it. I'm tired of feeling this way. I'm tired of feeling, you know what, man's opinion is going to hold me down. What if this doesn't work out? I want to be obedient to God because it's more about obedience, and God looks at that, right? So I was like, you know what, we're going to do it. You know, we set everything up, and I told people, you know what, in April, we're going to start Sundays, you know, because for a long time when people were asking, what about Sundays, I would tell them, you know what, just go to another church on Sunday, come here on Tuesday, right?
Right.
And the Lord spoke to me when the disciples, he was in that wilderness place, and the disciples told, you know, the people, you know, told Jesus, they told Jesus, "Jesus, send them away now. You know, send them away now because
they need to go eat.
They need to go eat. Yeah, we don't have nowhere to eat here. Send them away." And Jesus said, "No, they don't have to go away. You give them something to eat." And it was like the Lord telling me, saying, "Don't send them away. Why don't you give them something to eat?"
Right.
And I was like, man, this is crazy. Are you serious, Lord? Lord, I can't do this, God. I'm not ordained. I don't have the money. I don't have the sound system. I don't have the equipment to do a Sunday service. I don't have any of these things. You know, and the pastors, some people do, some people don't, you know.
had all the reasons not to do it.
And I remember he saying one time, "Cities and churches are one with reckless abandonment." And I was like, man, that's it. I need reckless. I don't need it. You know, when you're reckless, you don't think about the consequences. You're just thinking about what you know you want to do. And that's what we need, absolute surrender, reckless abandonment. And I wanted to just pursue what God had called me to do. And I had every reason. I was telling God, "No, God, I'm not going to do it. I don't have the money. I don't have the resources. I don't have the manpower, any of that stuff," right? And I remember one time my wife's uncle was talking to me after church. He was going to Golden Springs at the same time. He was telling me, you know, after Sunday service, he walked in and said, "What's going on with the Bible study? What's God doing? Tell us." And I was like, "Well, God's kind of, you know, been wrestling with the thought of doing, you know, just, you know, going to Sundays." And he said, "You know what? Well, why don't you?" I was like, "Well, all these things." He said, "Well, we're going to pray." You know, no, he told me, actually, "Why don't you send me an email and see how we can help you with the resources?" And I just kind of started chuckling. I was like, "No, I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm not going to send me." And he knew. He kind of felt like he's not going to send me the email. Mm-hmm. You know, so he walked away and he came back like literally 2 minutes after with his wife. He came back and he told me, "You know what? God put us in a heart. We're going to pay for 3 months worth of rent through your insurance."
Man.
And let me say, and then he said this, "And we have a sound system. I'm going to give it to you." Dang. You know, I mean, I'll tell you, I started just tears started going down my face.
Yeah.
God started to provide. God started to provide. We started to get checks in the mail from people that don't even go to the study. Checks in the mail for this Bible study. And we were like, "What is going on here?" Just randomly. You know, just crazy checks that were going and coming in the mail to start this Bible study on Sundays, right? God was funding this work, right? And God told me, "All right, the only thing you don't have now is an excuse." Because first you say you didn't have the sound system. The only thing you don't have now is an excuse now to go. You know, stop focusing on what you don't have and what you do have. Bring it now to me, to Jesus, and let him multiply it.
Yeah.
You know, what did the disciples do? They took the bread and the fish to Jesus, and whatever they did have, Jesus multiplied it. And I think that's something that we have to remember sometimes. Because sometimes we focus, "I won't do that because I don't have this." But what about what you do have? Why don't you start using that for God, right? So he plays, the Lord provides for it, right? We go in there, we become incorporated with the state and all that. We become a church in the community center, right? And God opens up these crazy doors, right? And before we went on Sunday to this community center on Sunday, we had to move to a different one. Because that one would not allow us to do Sundays. I was like, "God, see, we're not going to do it. We can't do Sundays. They don't want us to be here on Sundays." So we went to a Hamburg high school, and we started to look at the high school. we set up an application with the district, right? We paid some fees. They said, yeah, you guys can use the multi-purpose room in our high school. We show up on Sunday to see how it looks, you know, on a random Sunday. I was like, hey, well, we should just go on Sunday to see how it looks. And the whole street, it's closed down because Sundays they have a farmer's market. So you can't even get into the school. And I already have told people, like, hey, that Sunday we're going to start. We had gone and prayed for that place. We just didn't know how it was on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I was like, we can't use that place. And it was Tuesday. That Tuesday night, I had to tell them, hey, it was going to be this next Sunday we're starting. And I was like, God, what am I going to do? I already told them. Some of these people already stepped down from ministries that they were serving in. And now I'm going to face them tonight and tell them that there's no place. I went to this different community center in Rosemead. I walked in there on Tuesday morning and I said, hey, I need to meet here on Sunday. And they said, the manager said, what Sunday do you want to start? I was like, I want to start this Sunday. And she goes, let me see if I can do something. You know, she comes back to me and says, hey, you know what? You can start this Sunday now. And I did not know. I didn't know. It was the same week that we did the Sunday service. I had found out that week, 4 days before, where were we going to be meeting. I didn't know.
Wow.
And we're just seeing God provide. And it was the Lord just backing everything up. Because when it's God, you don't have to strive. He just does it on his own.
Hmm.
I think sometimes we try to force open doors. When it's the Lord, you don't have to kick down any doors. You know that God is behind everything. And he is just funding all the work, right? So we go back to Sundays. We start Sundays there. God does an amazing work. He's doing a work on Sundays. He's doing a work on Sundays there. And we're saying, all right, God, I don't know what's going to happen here. You know, we're just being obedient and faithful to God. And since we're doing Sundays at the community center now, paying that, we went back to my house, right, on Tuesday nights. And it starts to grow on Tuesday nights again. You know, and this is where it gets crazy now because it starts to grow. And every Tuesday, we would move all my living room furniture to the garage and then move it back after the study.
Wow.
You know, because at that time, Golden Springs had given us some chairs to do it, on Tuesdays at my house. And we moved it from the backyard, you know, to the, you know, when it got cold, we moved it to the inside to my living room. And it was funny because of the fact that, you know, we would move things back and forth. Eventually, my wife would say, you know what, why don't we just start giving stuff away? And I was like, that's crazy. This is our furniture. What are you talking about? You know, one day I came from work on Tuesday, right? And I saw our like couch or sofa in the bed of my brother's truck. And I was like, this thing's gone. And we started to give a couch away to make room for more chairs.
Wow.
So we gave
in
a
your
couch,
own home.
In my own home. So we gave our couch away to make room for more chairs. And after we gave that couch away, then we gave the little coffee table. And then we gave the TV with the TV stand away. And then we gave the dining room table away to the point where there was nothing left in my living room. And when people would come during the week, they would think we were crazy, like someone stole everything. Because you would literally, it's like walking into a house and it was just hardwood floor. And every single week we would set it up with chairs. And it started to grow. And we literally gave away all our furniture. It was like the Book of Acts. What they would do, they would just meet in the house. And they were crazy enough to believe that God would work if they would do these things. You know, you go to third world countries like Africa and you know, and these places where people are, you see people are crowding the house, and you see people peeking in from the outside in. You know, I saw that, you know, when I went out to Africa with your dad and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
We saw people literally go miles in their bikes to see, hear the word of God. That's what was happening here in Rosemead. You know, and people were coming out, and we gave away everything, chairs, to the point where people started some weeks sitting in the kitchen. And I was like, man, what's going on here? It was like 30 people. It was hot in there. It was so hot. You know, it was like disgusting hot in there, you know? And then the children's ministry, they would meet in this little back room that's attached to my bedroom. So there's people all over my house. You know, literally, they had to go through my bedroom to get to the children's ministry.
Right.
I mean, that sounds crazy. I don't even know why I allowed that. Every week, our house had to be so tidy.
Yeah, your underwear's out on the floor.
You know what I'm saying? Everything had to be so clean because families would take, literally, their kids walk through my bedroom to take them to a different place. And it was set up with little things for kids. The different rooms, or, you know, that room was set up for the children's ministry.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes the backyard was a children's ministry. And it was, you know, there was a lot of kids to the point where there was 10, 15 kids sometimes back there. And my wife's like, man, you got to finish early because there's too many kids back here. You know, and our neighbors started to hear that we would sing a lot. Well, yeah, we always know when it's Tuesdays because we have no place to park.
Oh,
you know, man. We had a little banner outside of my house, and I was like, man, I don't know what God is doing here. And people started to pray, like, God, give us a building. That way we don't have to move our stuff and set it up at the community center and do this, you know, at the house anymore. God, give us a place. And I was like, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're praying for. Because I wasn't praying for that. I wasn't looking for that. That's too much commitment. Again, fear stopping you from doing what God calls you to do.
What were you praying for?
I was just praying that God would give me the strength to keep doing what I was doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just praying.
Because you felt unqualified.
Yeah, you still felt like unqualified. You're still not even ordained at this time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the Lord opened up an opportunity. You know, I got ordained by the board of our church and all that. And you still, you know, you're thinking like, I'm too young. Why would I ever want a building? I'm too young to do this. People would come to church on Sunday, and they wouldn't expect for a 25-year-old to be the pastor. You know, they would expect me to be the worship leader. I was in worship, and I was like, all right, maybe the pastor's going to come out after.
I put the guitar down,
and then I moved to the pulpit. And I, is this a joke? You know? And it's so crazy, because sometimes, you know, during worship, people would come, and then they would come back the next week, and I was like, God, are you serious? Like, I'm tripping out. Like, why would they come back? You know, and it's the word of God that they need. You know, it's the word of God. That's all the word of God. I think I'm 25 years old doing this thing. And, you know, and amazing people around us that are just by faith, just obedient to the call of God. Amazing people. And we're doing this. They start to pray, give us a building, right? And when they're praying, I'm like, Lord, you know, I'm not even looking for a building. Just maybe change your prayer, because that's not what I'm even doing. And I feel bad. I feel bad when people are praying for this stuff. And then one time, they keep praying. And one time, my my mother-in-law, who works in commercial real estate, after Sunday service at the community center, we're tearing down. People were putting TVs in their car, in their trunk, all this stuff. The sound system is going on. We had two trucks and like five cars. We would stuff everything in and take it back to my house, you know. And one after all that was happening, right, through the rain and through the heat and all this, I remember a lot of us going, you know, with like truss dancing TVs in the rain, like running, trying to get this stuff in the community center. But one time after Sunday service, she went up to me. She goes, hey, I want to let you know, I found this commercial like real estate place that you can lease out, you know, and you know, it kind of looks like it would work, you know, from the outside. And I just started laughing and nodding my head, and I was like, all right, thanks, you know, want to be, you know, not disrespected in my head. And she was walking away, and as she was walking away, I kind of stopped her. I say, hey, can I ask you, who told you to look for this? Because this is what she does professionally. I was like, who told you to look for a building for us? I never requested that. You know, not to be in a rude way, but just wondering, like, what is God doing here? So nobody did. I just felt like it was time, you know, and I was praying. And I was like, okay. I was like, tell me a little bit more. She told me a little bit more. She sent me a link. It was Sunday night. And I started to look. And God started to move my heart. Like, this is it. This is the next giant you're gonna face. It's all about facing giants, taking steps of faith, right? Seeing God provide. You saw how he did it in the past. He's going to do it again in the future. And I think sometimes we have to look back at God's faithfulness in the past so that we can enter into the promised land of what he wants to do now in the future, right? And I was remembering and I was thinking and I was asking God, Lord, what is it that you want to do? So the next day on Monday, I went to go look at the place. And I was there, and I told her, hey, I drove to the place. It's right, you know, it was like 5 minutes from my house. I drove to the place, you know, and as I drove to the place, I was there. I was walking around. Hadn't even gone inside. I was looking in the parking lot. I parked my car, and God was pressing in my heart. And he was like, you want me to see me do something crazy? And I was like, nope. I was like, no, because I already knew how much it cost. Yeah. At this time, we had become a 501c3 nonprofit. And literally, the community center, because you're a nonprofit, we're a community center, so you don't have to pay rent anymore. We were paying $800. We weren't paying rent anymore at that time, and we started just to save. You know, the church started to save. No one's receiving a salary, you know, even to this day, and we started to save, right? And we're just saving the money, and we didn't know what God's going to do. We went from, you know, there was no rent, right? At that point, we're just paying materials, events, outreaches. We started using that, the money for resources for that, to reach out to the community. Mm-hmm. And then we found out that the rent over here is going to be like $6,000. Man, that's crazy. $6,000, right? So I was like, no, God, I don't want you to see you do something crazy, right? And I'm walking around, and then he tells me, you know, I want you to get on your knees right now in this parking lot and start to pray. And I was like, no, God, that is I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm coming from like a Calvary Chapel background. We don't do that kind of stuff. I had to remind God, you know,
who I was,
and that I was from Calvary Chapel, you know? And God said, I kept walking around and said, did you not hear what I said? I said, if you want to see me do something big, I want you to get on your knees in this parking lot and start to pray. And I was like, I'm not, you know, how am I going to do this? You know, it's going to look ridiculous. And he said, do it right now if you want me to move a mountain. You have faith enough to see move a mountain to get on your knees and pray. I'll tell you, I got on my knees that day in the trunk, by the trunk of my car, and I started to pray in that parking lot. God, I don't know what you want to do next. But whatever you want to do, you do it, and I'll be obedient. I don't want to be a Jonah. I want to be obedient. And the Lord that day started to move. I drove home, and my mother-in-law called me and said, the property manager's out there. He wants to talk to you. I drove back, And as he's rolling up the bay door of this big warehouse, he tells me, when do you want to move in? And I was like, well, I can't even afford it just to tell you. I want to tell you straight up off the bat. He said, when do you want to move in? I was like, first of all, drop it $1,000 and then we'll even consider it. And it's still, I was just, for me in my mind, that was just dumb because I couldn't even afford that. So I'm just trying to be like a wise business steward and entrepreneur. And I thought, God, if you drop it $1,000, then we're in. You know? So we...
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So that's good business.
Yeah, good business. Man. You know,
we supposed to start a little bit lower.
Yeah.
Work your way up.
So, yeah, exactly.
That
so,
is hilarious.
So he said, you know, let me see what I can do. And I walk into this place, and it was already a church. It had been a Korean church before. A Korean church had come, installed it, and it had classrooms. It had offices. It had a stage. It had a sound booth. It had, a little like multi-purpose room with a sink and all that stuff. And I'm looking at it and I'm seeing it like it had been empty for about two or three months. But I'm seeing it as I'm seeing it. I'm envisioning what God can do. And the Lord starts to give me so much vision. And I think it's so important that we have vision because you might have sight, but if you don't have vision, it's been said before, then, you know, what's worse? You know, Helen Keller said, she said, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision.
Mm.
Dang.
And, you know, and I started to have vision for what God could do. I was like, man, I was picturing people, the chairs and all of this. And I'm like, man, this is crazy. This is what, all right. And I told him, try to be a good businessman, you know, take $1,000. I drove home. I'm excited now. I'm fired up. This is the new one. It was the community center first Tuesdays. Then it was give, you know, it was then the Sunday thing, you know, and we did it. Now it was giving away all our furniture and seeing what you would do. And we're creating more space so that God can fill it. And when you create more space in your schedule, your time, your finances, whatever it is, God will fill it and he will use it.
Hmm.
So we started, we got a call back, right, from them about 3 days after. And they said, you know, all right, we'll drop it $1,000. And I'm kind of still pumped up because I thought I made a good deal, even though I realized I still can't afford this. and God, you know, we had never seen our offerings go that high to be able to meet that need. Never have we seen that. Only one time. And God told me, I want you to know, I gave you that month one time so you can see that I can do it.
Hmm.
Just so that you can see that I can do it. It had not been a 6 month pattern. It had not been a 6 month that you can say you can afford it. It was done once. So that I can remember God already did it one time. And if he did it once, that means he can do it again. And I remember walking around just buying groceries for my family and wrestling with this thought. I think I even called your dad once. And I was, you know, in the grocery store and I told him, man, I don't want to. I mean, I just, what if I fail these people in 6 months and we get kicked out because we can't afford this? And he said, just watch God provide. Didn't he provide with the checks in the mail? Didn't he provide with all the sound system equipment? And watch God provide. God started to provide miraculously. We needed chairs for the place. One person donated all the chairs so that we get brand new chairs. Guy comes with a semi-truck, you know, starts rolling up his truck to unload all these chairs. And we're unloading chairs with all these young people unloading chairs, people bringing in sound system, donating their time, the equipment, all that, raising it up, right, on all this stuff, putting in sound system, right? When the guy, you know, with the chair guy, you know, you need to sign off for your order. He comes up to me, all right, can you go ahead and call your dad? I was like, my dad? Yeah, go ahead and call your dad so you can sign off on the chairs. Isn't your dad the pastor? And I was like, no, I'm the pastor. And he said, come on, stop messing around. I have to go. I need your dad to sign this. I was like, no, I'm serious. I'm the pastor. You know,
whose kid is that over
there? Yeah. And thinking that, I laugh because I tell people I am a perfect example that God can use anyone.
Mm.
I'm a perfect example that God can use. If God can use me, he can use anyone. And God provided through the chairs, through everything else. You know, we needed to install AC. God provided for that as well. And we're just being faithful to God, seeing what God can do, seeing what God would do, being faithful in the small things, being obedient and giving people God's word. Because that's what we're called to do, give people God's word. It's not about entertainment. It's not about trying to get people into the church through gimmicks. It's about giving them God's word.
Amen.
And one of the things that I've learned through this season is that I'll just share with you guys is that just speak who God called you to be. Don't try to be anybody else. Don't try to compare yourself to anyone else. Because sometimes as young people or we're trying to do something that God called us to do, we start to compare ourselves. And the quickest way of killing something special is by comparing it to something else.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to just be what God called you to be. God doesn't anoint imitations. He wants to anoint you what he called you to do.
Hmm.
You know, and he wants to anoint you and do what he called you to do. And where he guides you, He's also going to provide for it. And that's how you know God's behind it, because he'll provide for it every single time. If he guides you, he's going to provide for it, you know? And God told me, you know what? I haven't given you a spirit of fear. I've given you a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Mm-hmm. You know, everything that I have for you is on the other side of fear. It's on the side of faith. And now when people ask me, where is Rosemead? I tell them, Rosemead's on the other side of faith. It's, you know, on the other side of fear, right next to faith. It's right next to faith. We're serving right there on the corner of strong and courageous. Mm-mm. Because that's what keeps us going. So being strong, courageous in the Lord. And knowing where God guides, God provides. And let your faith be bigger than your fears. You know, sometimes our fears are bigger than our faith. But the Lord says, no, let your faith be bigger than your fears and serve to please God and God alone. When you start to try to serve God and are slave to man's opinion, what are people going to think about me? You're never going to do nothing. Because you're going to be too worried about whether people, man is going to approve of you when God's already approved of you, and that's all you need.
Amen.
All you need is the calling of God. And you're sometimes, are people going to think? What are they going to say? What are they going to, you know, are they going to come? Are they going to approve of me? If God's already given you the green light, if he's funding it, if he's anointed you, if he's called you, it doesn't matter. You go out and do what God called you to do, you know? And sometimes we even think our age will do. No, God wants to do something with this young generation.
Yeah.
God wants to do something with us today. You know, I don't want to hear about what God did, you know, 30, 40 years ago. Praise God for what he did it. But mm-hmm. I want to see what God wants to do today with my generation. We are the leaders of this next generation. And for anybody out there that's struggling with fear and saying, you know what, I can't do this because what if it fails? Well, I'll tell you this, failure is not final. You know, God is on the throne. He's in control. And if he's in control and if he's behind this, he's going to make sure that this takes place and this happens, right? And that's what we just have to be obedient and faithful. Let him build a church. It's not, and the Lord always reminds me, it's not my church, it's God's church.
Amen.
Yeah.
And what did he say? I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Yeah.
It's not my church. This is not my story. This is the story of what God has done, and all glory to God. Because this is what God has done, and it's not my church, it is his church. We're not to use ministry as a platform for ourselves. You see a lot of people building ministry as a platform for themselves. We're not. This is not our brand. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. You know, we better just become a background, a canvas, a stage for the Lord. The Lord is not a platform for us, you know, and we have to remember that. And I think it's so amazing to know that. The Lord said, this is my church and I will build on it. I will build on it. So that's kind of sums up, kind of puts all around, you know, what God is doing. We've been able to see God do just a lot of amazing work. Conferences at that place now, you know, weddings, open it up to people who, you know, need the facility as well. You know, we're in the cities, you know, doing suicide prevention rallies now, right?
I saw that on, you just did one.
We did
the other day.
Yes. So we've done three in the last 6 months. We're in the high school, in Rosemead High School. You know, in the last 3 years, we're in there as well, right? We're inviting kids from the San Gabriel Valley. We did something in Christmas where if their parents were incarcerated, we invited them through an outreach for them, right? And my wife always thinks it's crazy because I always sign up more kids than amount of people that come to church. And she's like, are you crazy? Why'd you sign up so many kids? Those kids, we don't even have that many people coming to church. How are we going to buy all the gifts for them, right? And God always provides. And I think that if we're comfortable, if we're playing it safe, then how are we ever going to see God move?
Yeah.
There's something about faith that is risk-taking. And we can be playing it safe every day. When you start to allow, give God more space to move, to grow, to move, and give them more space to be able to do that, he's going to work and blow you away.
And that's what I love about God is that you have that faith and he shows you. When he shows up, it's like, oh yeah, it's not faith of nothing.
Yes.
He's made himself available to me and real, and he's here and I know it. And you're just kind of waiting on him.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an amazing story, man.
Dude.
It's awesome.
Arreus, I'm freaking, dude.
God, man.
And that's what's great to hear too, because it just, I think I can think of myself and, you know, my fears and what, you know, I'm not capable of, but really it's not about us. And that's kind of what you're saying and all the self-doubt you had and the fear. But once you really realize that it's like you were saying, it's God's church. It's God that's doing it. You just have to be that guy that he's facilitating it through, you know.
That's big. And so sometimes we think, you know what, God, you know, I'm not equipped to do this. But God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we think, well, God, I'm not equipped to do this. Well, God is not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. Mm. And if you make yourself available, then he'll use you. You have to have, I've always, from young age, said, Lord, here I am, send me.
Yeah.
Here's the failure.
Isaiah, right?
Yeah, Isaiah, here I am, send me attitude. If you have the here I am, send me attitude, he will use you. he's going to use anybody. If he could, like I said, you know, I remember one time, you know, when we were studying the Bible study, it was so funny. Well, a guy showed up, and after the Bible study in my living room, when it was first starting, they're all talking amongst themselves out there. And he's all, God can use me, man. God can use us. Don't you guys know? He was telling her, God can use, if God can use art, of course he can use us.
You know? Amen, brother.
And yeah. I was like, yeah, man. You know, if he can use me, he can use anyone. And you know what?
It's true.
We're just making ourselves available. There's so much truth to that. He might have said it not even knowing what he was saying, right? Mm-hmm. Just so naive, but there's so much truth to that, right? Because it is God's work. And we are there just to serve him, to be stewards of what he's given us, what he's placed in our hands. I'm blessed that my wife is on board. I think that any time that you're married and you're looking to get married, you know, you're pursuing what God wants you to do, you have to have, you'll be married with somebody that has the same vision as you do. Because they're a helper, right? And she's there sacrificing. She's there suffering with me. Right. She's there taking now the weight on her shoulders as well, like, yeah. Right? Leading the church, you know. And this is us just being obedient to God. Mm-hmm. You don't ever know today what God's preparing us for tomorrow. We don't.
Yeah.
You know, you don't even, right now, even the story, this ministry that's taking place right now, we don't know how far reaching it can actually be. Yeah. Right? And how, you know, this, how it can provoke or stir one another to love and good works.
Amen. Yeah, well,
I'm without words.
Yeah, you said a lot, man. That was awesome. I hope people listen to this. They're encouraged. Like you're saying, some of the people that maybe are on the fence or they're holding back because of fear, that they can overcome that and just put their full trust in God, faith in God, that he will carry them through whatever he has for them.
Yeah.
And so your church, Alive Fellowship?
Alive Christian Fellowship in the city of Rosemead, yeah.
City of Rosemead. So if your listeners out there and you're nearby.
Yeah, www.alivecf.org.
Where are you located?
And right across from the Montebello Mall. So if you know the Montebello Mall, yeah. Right across from there, yeah.
Yeah.
Right next to the Doubletree on the corner of Strong and Courageous.
Oh, really? Oh, that's a good location, buddy.
Yeah, it is.
That's legit.
Yeah, so you guys listening out there, you need a home church and you're in the area, go check it out. Uh-huh. Or if you just want to go visit, go say hi to Art.
Come on out, man. We'd love to see you.
Thank you so much, Art, man.
No, thank you.
So Isaac, encouraging and
Andrew.
I'm excited for you and just for all that God has
for
us.
No, pray
all.
For us. You know, pray for us.
We'll do.
Yeah, indeed. That's it.
All right.
With that, we just ask that you open your eyes, listen closely, soften your heart, and ask God to reveal himself to you. Who are you alone?